Hello, everyone, and welcome to another recap race analysis of the 2023 Giro d'Italia here on the Cycling Dane Extra channel. And today I'm joined by our new creator and owner, Patrick, and also one third of the Echelon Cycling podcast. And I mean, Patrick, a bit more excitement today than we had yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people were let down yesterday, so it was really good to kind of get the opposite side of the coin today and have a really exciting day. It was always pinned as a breakaway day, so it was a pretty fierce competition to get in there. And we saw Ben Healy, of course, the other day, lots of other riders like McNulty, for example. They were all so adamant on trying to get him a breakaway, but they unfortunately missed it the other day when it went to the line, and that's when Palapentola won. But the breakaway did go today. There was a group of, I think, five people, and then another group kind of merged with them, and it formed roughly a group of 11 or 12 riders, and they were rolling very, very well together, and they were just pulling out a gap on the peloton. And DSM, they took like a nature break, and they were like, well, that's it, that's the breakaway's pretty much gone. But then it was on the first Avicina climb where Ben Healy in the last couple of hundred meters just stepped off, just attacked the other people right at the top of the climb where everybody's sort of on him, on the limit, and pretty much that's all she wrote. He just attacked from there with 40k's to go at least, and then just took all the KOM points from that point onwards and won by a margin of a minute and 49 seconds. And it was then Derek G in second place to Canadian, who rides for Israel, Filippo Zana in third, Boran Bagi in fourth, Carlos Ferrer in fifth, Mattia by sixth, Schoen seventh, Tonelli eighth, Riesebeek ninth. And we'll get on to this. It was Theo Gegenhart who finished in 10th place. But that all happened because of something quite interesting on the final climb.
Well, we were a bit worried that it was going to be stalemate again. This gentleman's agreement, as someone said it, between the GC riders. But Bora Hansgrohe really put the pressure down. Ineos Grenadiers as well. But then that attack came from Roglic. And yeah, it looked like Remco Evenepoel was able to hold it. Andreas Leknessen, credit to him, he was holding the wheel for quite a long time. And yeah, what kind of happened? Yeah, what did you think, Patrick? Like, he ripped the race to some degree up here.
Yeah, I think Jumbo had a big agenda today where they were going to test Evenepoel, because nobody's really done that since his crash the other day. And I suppose that the longer you wait, the kind of less opportunity you have to try and capitalize on that. So credit to Jumbo. They set out today with a plan, and it worked, because obviously Quickstep's team, although on paper seemed really strong at the start of this race, has actually not been that great at supporting Remco. Their riders seemed to drop relatively early in comparison to Jumbo's. You know, like Hessman today did an absolute shift, Cohn Bauman as well, then Roglic kind of attacked from that, and Ineos are looking so strong as well, just a real solid unit. And it was Gegenhart and Geraint Thomas who bridged across to Primoz Roglic over the top of the climb, and then those three did a kind of free up little TTT down to the line, and they ended up gaining, I think, about 18 seconds on Evenepoel, Almeida, Jay Vine, and a couple of other people in that group. Maybe Caruso might have been in that group as well. So there weren't massive time gaps, but 18 seconds is 18 seconds. So Roglic does close in on GC a little bit. Leknessen is still leading. Evenepoel is 8 seconds behind Leknessen, but Roglic is now 30 seconds behind Evenepoel. So going into tomorrow's TT, he's kind of gained a little bit of time in, but it was all very interesting to see that they were willing to test Evenepoel, and that Evenepoel wasn't able to really respond. It does kind of confirm that perhaps these injuries are hampering him in some way.
It really did answer some questions for the Remco. We don't know how he's feeling tomorrow as well for the time trial. Ineos Grenadiers, I thought they should have done more work with Roglic, because it was like in their interest as well, because everyone is kind of going to be losing time to him tomorrow, we think, if Remco is on flying colours like he was on the first stage.
I think you're right. When Teo and G bridged up to Roglic, Roglic flicked his elbow, and if they didn't immediately pull through, that could obviously be that they just had bridged across to Roglic and they were just on the limit and they just needed half a minute just to kind of recuperate, and then they started helping. But I was a bit surprised maybe that they weren't going full gas, because thinking that this was a real prime opportunity to gain some seconds. But if they did work, maybe they might have pushed a gap up to nearer to 30 seconds, but I guess it wasn't going to be race defining. Well, who knows, maybe we'll get to the end and it will be race defining. We don't know right now. But I think that Ineos played their cards quite well. You know, maybe they could have capitalized a bit more, but I think they're just quite happy with playing the long game, and they're just playing a really savvy, smart, and calculated race, I think. And I think that it's actually working out quite well for them. And, you know, it could very well be that they get a rider onto the podium. And especially since they've got G and Teo in there, then that's really good. Unfortunately, they did lose Ganna today, though, to COVID. Ganna didn't start today, which will automatically probably bump up Remco's favorite status for tomorrow, despite the fact that he is, you know, according to today's performance, perhaps not on the greatest of kind of form, or maybe his injuries aren't kind of helping him out at all. But he will probably go into tomorrow as the favorite without Ganna here. I reckon that, you know, Remco's definitely favorite.
Filippo Ganna, obviously, he didn't perform in the time trial, but when Geraint Thomas had a mechanical, we saw how pivotal he is to kind of just as a domestique as well for these GC riders. So it's going to be a big loss for them as well going forward. In terms of the GC shakeup, was there anything notable that you saw? I mean, Vlasov losing a bit of places as well. Almeida, he wasn't as strong as we thought. We thought potentially this punchier climb would suit him a bit more. Aurélien Panepartre losing four places, but that was kind of expected.
Yeah, Panepartre was really the biggest mover today. He dropped four places, but like you say, that was quite expected because his goal in this race is like to finish top 15 or something. But I mean, he's already won a stage, so I reckon, you know, he'll be quite happy with that, and I reckon he'll just try finish wherever he can in GC. But yeah, positions didn't change around too much today. I think that Bora with Vlasov and Kemna might be looking to reassess in a way, because they weren't really there today. Kemna did try to follow Roglic, but eventually got dropped. And obviously, with this, they'll have to consider, are they happy with finishing on the fringes of the top 10? Or do they want to try a little bit of something a little bit more extreme, try and get in the breakaways or something like that, which Kemna's so good at doing? Do they want to try and do something a bit more extravagant in the third week? Because clearly, trying to hold on just to the wheels when the attacks go doesn't seem to be working out too much, does it?
Yeah, that's true. Do you see any way from Vlasov getting the podium? Do you think he's the podium chances are slipping away here now?
Yeah, I just don't see it happening, to be honest with you. Funnily enough, I was just going to say, we haven't really touched on the actual stage winner, that is
Ben Healy,
Ben
50K
Healy.
solo. Remarkable that he just kind of rode away on that first ascent up that the climb, the first Cascarrás climb. And then managed to just grow the advantage to the breakaway. They didn't seem like they could get organized at all. And I mean, we've spoken about him before, such a illustrious 2023 already Kopje Bartali stage race victory, Amstel Gold, Rob Van Terspil, et cetera, et cetera. And then now adding this to his first ever Giro d'Italia appearance, there's not really a better way to start a Giro.
I mean, it's just insane that he is a Grand Tour debutant, and literally just before this year, he hadn't done like loads, and he's only 22. It's insane, but Grand Tour debutant, he's just had an extraordinary 2023, and a Giro stage win is arguably, I know he finished kind of second at Amstel and stuff, but Giro stage win, I'd arguably put that at the top. You
I
know,
think you're right. Yeah. I was going to
it's hard to
ask you
say.
that. What do you rate higher? Yeah. But you answered it there.
I reckon the Giro stage, the winning as a rider or as just like a sporting person, the winning is the most important part. You know, everybody always says second is just the first loser. That's all that they say. But I think Healy, you know, we might not even see the last of him in this. I think this is the stage which really suited him. You know, the short climbs, we saw in the Ardennes, he was so good at them. And it's almost surprising, but not surprising. When I looked at the breakaway composition and I saw Ben Healy in there, I did think he is the strongest in there, but it's just a matter of how is he going to play it. So in a way, it's kind of, yeah, it's surprising because he's so young and he's a debutant, but it's not because he's got a track record this season of doing so good over this terrain. So it's also not surprising, but we might not, yeah, I think that we'll see him in a few more breakaways for sure, especially since EF, like there, you know, the GC's doing okay, but not great, you know, and Magnus Cort Nielsen's not looking amazing, so Healy might be relied upon a bit more.
Yeah, definitely a mission accomplished for the Irishman already. And as you said, could be a number of other stages that he wants to get in the mix for. Matty Brexel, his DS, said there was about eight stages he's kind of looked at. Yeah, which I'm like, what? But yeah, that's basically it for this race recap analysis. Make sure to check out Patrick's channel, I'll Do Cycling, in the link down below. And of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.